The following program is produced by the Tech Talk Radio Network.
Hey, everybody out there in Radio Land, this is James Young from the rock band Styx. If you are technically challenged, if you got trouble with that computer of yours, because Lord knows I do, you need to listen to Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome to Tech Talk Radio, the show that talks about computers,
technology,
and the internet. I am Justin Lemmy.
I'm Andy Taylor. Good to have you here. How you been?
Sleepy.
You got to remember, see, Justin has a new baby, new child.
6 month old, yep.
Yeah.
And he's crying in the background. I don't know if you can hear that, but.
A little bit, that's all right. Been there, done that.
Yeah, I think he's going through a growth spurt right now because he normally would sleep right through the night all the time, but now he's kind of waking up at like 3-4 o'clock in the morning, which really is like the worst time to wake up because Misa gets up at 5 anyway to start getting ready for her day.
Right.
And when you have a baby waking up at 4, you're like, oh, come on. Can't you just hold on for like one more hour? Like, really? Like, isn't that the worst when you it's kind of like when you wake up by yourself naturally and you look at your alarm clock and you got like 30 minutes left before your alarm goes off and you're like, really? Really?
We went through 6 kids. So, you know, been through all of the waking up, the going to sleep, you know, one will wake up all the others. Just fun.
You know what I found helps though?
What's that?
Drinking. I sleep right through it.
Yeah. Much to the chagrin of Misa.
Yeah.
That happens.
She's like, he's crying. I'm like, go get him then. I don't care.
Oh, man. Wait. All right. So, you know, we are here to talk a little bit about technology, but, you know, I love this part too, because I'm wondering, with all the technology that you bought when, you know, you found out you were going to have a baby in the house and everything, are you still using any of this? And what age do you start handing that down to friends that are having kids?
Well, technology-wise, we haven't gotten rid of anything. I haven't really bought a lot of technology stuff for him. I mean, we're handing down clothes, like, left and right, you know, because he's outgrowing them. But, you know, the baby monitor, we're still using it every night. Honestly, that's pretty much the only thing we've actually gotten technology-wise for that. So,
yeah,
I don't know. I guess it's just the same as clothes. When you have no more use for whatever technology you're looking at there, that's when you start to sell it. We did just buy a new baby carrier. It's not technology, but I mean, I guess it is in a way. It's ergonomical, so that's technology, but it's, I think it was Ergo Baby, I think it was called. Misa said everybody in Japan had them, and so
really
we picked one up over at a local store here. It was like $140 for this thing.
Wow.
But we had a baby Bjorn, which is the more commonly known. And we didn't really use it all that often because you don't get any back support. This one, woo-wee, you get some great back support on it. But yeah, it's expensive.
Well, I've heard that they're talking about putting some of this like Fitbit type technology into some of the strollers and to, number one, also remind parents to get out and walk the baby, you know, take the baby out, get some sunshine and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
Which it's sad that we have to be reminded that.
Yeah, it is kind of sad that you're like, oh yeah, there's a baby, I need to go do something with this small human. What was it again? Oh, take it for a walk. Yeah,
well, you don't want to watch another episode of Orange is the New Black with Daddy.
yeah exactly.
No, don't do that.
Or Game of Thrones, which is just the new season just came out. So you know, it's funny too, speaking of Fitbit, I think I mentioned this once before, but our neighbors have a 4-year-old daughter,
right?
And she had noticed that I was wearing my Fitbit one day.
Mm-hmm.
And we were over there just talking at their house, you know, I was having a couple beers with the dad and everything, you know, and she was like, what is this? I'm like, it's a Fitbit. She's like, what is Fitbit? And I was like, here,
oh my
put this on your wrist and go run around. And I gave it to her, and she ran around the house for like an hour straight and was just counting up my steps, because I'm watching it on my phone because I have the link through my phone, and I'm like, oh wait, hold on. And she's like, she gets tired and she's like, I'm done. I'm like, no, just 500 more steps. You can do it. Come on. Give me that Fitbit star.
Well, you know, Garmin has that device for kids that we looked at not too long ago.
Sure.
So, I mean, that's
sure.
You know, that's perfect. You want to get your kids out there and get them running around. Why not?
Did I ever ask you this? And maybe we'll just pose this question out to our listeners there.
All right.
But if with all the technology, and I think I have asked this before, but there's the GPS implant that you can get for kids, you know, that like if your kid ever were to get abducted, you can have these GPS chips implanted under their skin. And I mean, they're like the size of a grain of rice, really. But would you do that to for peace of mind, to protect your child? Would you cybernetically enhance your own child by putting a GPS tracker in them.
I think we did talk about this once, but really my feelings on this is there are so many alternatives with technology, and I understand this is a great way because it's nothing that can be taken away. It's embedded. There are people that take kids. Sadly, we've had the story too often. We had a story not too long ago here in Tucson where we broadcast the show from. But I don't know. I just think that's just a step too far.
Well, see, the way I look at it is
I might be wrong.
Yeah. Privacy. I mean, the child has privacy. But in my book, no, you don't have privacy until you're of a certain age.
Right.
And I may say that, you know, 14 or 15 years old would be the point where, okay, you can have privacy now and we'll go and get this removed or deactivated or whatever it may be. But from the time you're a baby up until that certain age, you are my responsibility and I will know where you're at all times kind of thing.
Well, you know, they're coming up with all kinds of ways to embed this technology in the clothing, in everything from an earring to a ring.
Yeah, but those things can all be removed.
I know. And, I just don't know about that one.
It's a very controversial subject.
Yeah. And there are a lot of people who say, no, absolutely not, because it is a total invasion, especially if your kid walks in the room and opens his mouth and suddenly an ad comes out. Everything is ad-driven, right? I'm brought to you this half hour by Jack in the Box.
or you're getting ready in the morning, you're taking your morning pill. You're taking your morning pill and all of a sudden he walks in and goes, possible side effects include anal leakage. No.
Yeah, that sucks. That's not a good thing. No. Yeah. All right. You know, we do like to take your computer issues, and there are so many ways that if you want to get help, you can get help. We are going to give you some a location that you can go to on Facebook that really is a great group. You've been there from really the start of the group.
Sure.
And I think it's a great way. Now, there was a question the other day that a friend had posted, and it was funny because we've been friends on Facebook a long time, mm-hmm. and suddenly I got a like on one of the pictures, like an old picture, like mm-hmm. the old profile picture. And I was like, who's this person?
Somebody's right? Facebook picture stalking you?
Yeah, I was like, who's this person? So I went and looked. And then first thing I see is that this person was having a computer problem, a tech issue. Mm-hmm. And the question she had asked said, need help from my tech friends. Installed a new hard drive and PC powered up to BIOS when tapping the delete key. And then immediately the keyboard stopped working. And mm-hmm. I haven't found out what the solution is yet, but it was funny because everybody was saying install a new keyboard driver, but I'm thinking, wait a minute.
No, you're in the BIOS.
This is in the BIOS. It hasn't even gotten into Windows yet.
Yeah.
So, you know, and why it was working, I don't know. You know, at this point, I probably would have just said, I don't know about you, I would have said, get a new keyboard.
Yeah, I mean, possibly. I would, you know, that or worst case scenario, something going on with your motherboard. It could very well just also be a setting in the BIOS. Sometimes, you know, just resetting the BIOS, clearing the CMOS is what they call it. You know, resetting the BIOS like that may bring that, you know, fix that problem. But right. It's kind of hard to know. I don't know.
Without getting particulars about that computer system and the whole bit. Now, apparently the problem has been worked out, and I didn't get the solution yet to find out what she ended up doing. Mm-hmm. But we'll share that next week on the show. But I do definitely want to mention everything setup page.
Yeah, everything PC setups. If you go into Facebook, that's our group. I'm one of the admins of it. But right. You can go there. You can post pictures of your setup. You know, get ideas on how to, you know, design your office or whatever. And again, also just help if you have a question, anything like that. You can definitely hit us up. There's plenty of members. We've got over 1,400 members in the group.
The group's big.
So yeah, it's pretty big. But yeah, everything PC setups on Facebook is a group that you can get some good help from.
Tony posted a question the other day, and there's always one in the crowd. Just to say, there is always one in the crowd. Tony said, so I've got a problem. I keep getting a blue screen and a windows.com/stop code. Mm-hmm. Then it restarts and it's really ticking me off. Any suggestions? All right. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you go through, and the nice thing about it is you can go through and take a look and kind of get an idea of what problems people are having and maybe get a solution from some of the other solutions that are on there. So if you ever run into this.
Sure.
And some of them are asking, did you overclock your video card? You know, the problem with your RAM or your CPU. But of course, there's one in every crowd. The guy says, get a Mac.
Yeah, and that's the guy that we ban.
Yeah. yeah. But Tony came back with a really good response on that, just a animated GIF, which I love. So, or GIF? Is it GIF? GIF. Thank you. But yeah, it's good stuff. You got to check out the group. Again, lots of great stuff in there.
Yeah, everything PC setups on Facebook there.
All right, you got something that I had not heard about till you just showed me on the cameras. We were getting ready to do the show.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait a minute, I want this.
From time to time we talk about, I obviously love to play video games. Don't get much of a chance anymore having a kid. But yeah, there is a product that Steam has come out with.
It's like playing The Sims, isn't it?
Yeah.
Suddenly you have a kid. You have a child.
Yeah. So Steam has come out with a product called the Steam Link. And it is a small device with a couple USB ports, an HDMI output, and it's about the size of an Amazon Fire TV or in like an Apple TV, I guess you could say. But it plugs into your television, and it allows you then to use the Steam controller, which is another wireless device. Looks a lot like a Xbox controller, but it does have a trackpad on it, kind of like a laptop trackpad. So between the Steam Link and the Steam controller, then your computer that is running Steam, and again, for those of you who might not know, Steam is a client that where it stores all of your video games. So
right.
Things you buy video games through Steam. And again, this is just for PC games, not for Xbox or PlayStation. It's only for PC games. But you buy your content through Steam, and Steam stores all of your content for you. So you don't have to worry about managing CDs or DVDs. It's all done digitally. If you want the game, you just download it back to your computer. It installs it. You can play it. When you're done, you can uninstall it and download something different.
And you still have your game.
And you still have it forever.
This is like I got to tell you, for somebody who has been there through the 90s, mm-hmm. and you know, and when we used to get DVDs, we went from CDs to DVDs, of games where you had two DVDs, you had all this content, mm-hmm. and you installed it, and suddenly you were running out of space in your hard drive, because that's one of the last things you updated. You spent all the money on the video card. This is like the best thing in the world, because then you can get games, and the nice thing too, Steam offers sales on some of these games that are amazing.
Yeah, they have two major sales throughout the year, the summer sale and the winter sale. And you can find games up to like 80% off. And so a lot of people that are really into Steam, they will save their money throughout the year. And when the summer sale or winter sale hits, they'll just go, you know, nuts and just buy a bunch of games.
Plus you get the older games too. So, you know, if you have that disc that you ran a game under Windows 95 OS R2 or 98, you want to play it, you can't install it. You can build a machine. Well, what Steam does in some cases on some of these titles, and it's not all of them, they get special versions that are enhanced and made to work with, you know, Windows 10 or Windows 7, or even Windows 8. and you could install them and play games. I mean, we're talking games that go back, you know, quite a ways. And, you know, there's kind of a retro thing on gaming recently. You know, Atari just announced they've got something else coming out now. They're going to try and get back in the whole console business with, what is it, Atari Box, I think. And then the makers of the company that took some of the old school Atari titles, they came out with a press release at the same time. They're going the same way Nintendo did, and they're coming out with an HDMI version of their game player. And I believe it was announced that Nintendo's coming out with an SNES version with
Super
their
NES, the Super Nintendo,
So I mean, there's
Sega, Sega, the company that made Sonic the Hedgehog and all that. They actually just released, I think it's called Sega Anywhere or Sega Everywhere or something like that. Mm-hmm. But now it's for Android and iOS. You can download and play every one of the Sega games on your phone, and it's emulated just the same way it would be if it was an old Sega Genesis. Like a ROM. And
That's awesome.
Yeah, you can do that. You can just search for Sega on your iPhone or Android and find all the old Sega games.
But Steam really gives you this opportunity to do it. So
going back to the Steam Link, this box allows you to then play any of your Steam games that are on your computer through your television as if you were sitting there playing like an Xbox or a PS4. You can do that now through the Steam Link. So I got that. It was on the summer sale, so I got that for $22. I had picked up the controller previously, so the controller was like $39, I believe. So for, you know, $50-$60, you can get the controller and the Steam Link. Not every game that Steam does is able to have full controller support, because again, it's designed for PC where you have a keyboard and mouse, but most of the games are able to play with the controller, because again, the controller has like a trackpad, so that can act like a mouse, but it's right. not perfect, but it, you know, for $60, it's a nice way for me to be able to play my Steam games out in the living room while I'm keeping an eye on my little one. Instead of being in the office. So it's
tied to the computer down. Yeah. The only thing is, all right, so when I play, like I just recently, the one I've been playing, Rainbow Six Siege, love it. It's a lot of fun. I've got to, you know, move up and get into Overwatch and all that. But I am a keyboard mouse guy when it comes to gaming. You know, W, A, D, X, all of those keys, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I do all of it.
I used to hate using I used to hate doing the W, S, A, D, the W key for forward, S for backwards, A and D for left and right. I used to hate it. I used to use the actual keys. So I was a left-handed mouse gamer for a while, and everybody thought I was it was like,
that's
it
weird.
Was the most ridiculous thing ever.
I'm a lefty, and I use the right hand for the mouse.
Yeah. So I would use my right hand with the actual arrow keys to move forward, back, and up and down. And then I would use my left hand on the mouse, but then they started coming out with ergonomic mice that are not made for lefties. They're made for right-handed people. And then I was like, okay, now I really got to get back over and try to figure out how to use W, A, S, and D. Took me a while, but it's so much better now, because it's not only just the W, S, A, and D keys, but then you've got the surrounding keys, Q, E, Z, X, C, and all those little keys can be buttons to do other things inside the game. So that's kind of cool.
Well, you see, that's the thing, though, but I'm wondering, because I have a hard time gaming with the Xbox One. We have an Xbox One, and just recently I tried out Lara Croft that was available as a demo with Gold membership, and I hated the experience. You know, the way you have to move with it and everything else. And I thought if I was playing, like when I play Tomb Raider with a mouse and a keyboard, it was like, this is the best. Now, on the other hand, Flight Sim, there are people out there that do the Flight Sim with a keyboard and mouse. And my head wants to explode. Yeah. I see them do it with the controller like you got with the Steam Link. And it actually seems easier to fly, obviously sans the joystick, but it seems easier to fly than it does with a mouse and keyboard.
Yeah, I never could do a mouse and keyboard on a flight sim before. So, controller or obviously better yet, a joystick or flight yoke for planes. Yeah.
Now, to play these games on Steam, do you have to pay them a membership fee?
No.
Or you just buy the game and then you connect?
You just buy the game. That's it. Just buy the game. And as long as your computer is turned on and running Steam, the Steam Link will find it on your local area network and you can start streaming your games to the device, and it can be wired or wireless. Nice. So the Steam Link itself, it does have Wi-Fi built in, or it has an Ethernet port. So if you don't have a strong Wi-Fi signal,
aren't you going to get some lag in that though?
No, not really. No. And the beautiful thing about it too is the Steam Link doesn't do any of the processing. Your computer is using all of its hardware to process everything, and then it's just sending the video stream. And the control stream to the device back and forth. So it's kind of cool because I fired up a pretty technical, you know, graphically intensive game,
right.
And I could hear my computer start to speed up after a little while when it was like the fans had to kick in overdrive because it was like, okay. But it was kind of cool that I can actually use the power of my PC through the local area network to the Steam Link and be able to play my games that way.
We had a guy here in Green Valley the other day that gave me a call. He said that he had decided he wanted to start playing some games, and he was in one of the used bookstores out here, Bookman's, you know, that's out in Tucson.
Yeah.
And he picked up, I think he said Call of Duty 3. So, you know, his computer could play it, and he was playing it. But he said he started getting frightened when it started getting louder. His computer, he thought it was going to blow up.
It's just trying to cool itself down.
Don't worry. It's just doing its best to keep everything cool.
Mm-hmm.
Now, speaking of that, and since we're on the subject kind of games, you know, you got the Switch, about a month ago, and you played around with it. Did we ever find out, like, what did you think about it? Is it cool?
Yeah, so I don't actually own one. I was borrowing a friend's. Yeah. The Nintendo Switch, that's the new console that Nintendo released not too long ago. It allows you to take it on the go, so you can be a portable handheld console, or you can plug it into a docking station, and it will then just appear on your TV. And the cool thing is it'll just take over right where you left off. So if you're playing on TV and you're like, oh crap, I got to go to the doctor or whatever, you just pick up the console and it immediately leaves off right where you left off at. You don't have to turn it back on and reboot the game and wait for the whole thing. It just, boom, takes off right where you
How was the gameplay on it, though?
Gameplay was really nice. The controls are a little bit different to get used to because it's kind of odd. I mean, it's a wide console because it has to fit a lot of stuff, and it's got a nice big screen on it, big colorful screen. But I was playing Zelda, the new Zelda Breath of the Wild, and I got to say, after learning the control scheme and kind of getting used to what the game was all about, the controls are really nice. I absolutely do... loves that Zelda, that version of Zelda. I unfortunately only got to play just a couple hours of it, but it's a good system. I think there could be a lot more done to it, though. It doesn't quite feel polished. I'm not exactly sure. I couldn't even offer you a suggestion on what I would need. It's like there's just something that's not there for me. And although I would like to get one, I don't have a plan to get one.
Yeah.
And plus, you can't find them. I mean, whenever they come into stores, they're immediately gone.
You never see them. Yeah.
And do not buy the Nintendo Switch on Amazon or eBay because what there are people that have picked up the consoles and then they're reselling them for like two or three times the actual price.
It's crazy.
The console is only $250. People are selling these consoles on eBay and Amazon for like $400, $500, up to $1,000 a piece.
Great.
Because they know people are going to pay for it.
Yeah, that's just greed.
Yeah,
that's just greed. But Nintendo, you know, come on, Nintendo, put enough out.
They're creating demand by not having it. You know,
that doesn't make sense. They've been doing that with every single product they've been putting out.
Well, the classic NES, the classic Nintendo system, they came out with an HDMI version that was released last Christmas or whatever.
Yeah, that whole thing was idiotic.
Yeah, they released it for $50. Everybody picked them up, and then you just couldn't find them anymore. And then Nintendo says, "Okay, we're discontinuing this." And everybody's like, what the hell? I wanted one.
Yeah.
And now they're coming out with the new Super Nintendo HDMI version. So it's a smaller, condensed version of the Super Nintendo with all the games built in. And again, they're going to do the same thing. They're going to release it out there for a little while. Nobody's going to be able to get one because they're not going to have enough released. And then they're just going to discontinue it.
Yeah. That's so disappointing. It really is. There is a new title coming out called Splatoon 2, which is going to be out on the 21st of this month. Now, all I know, it's for the Switch, and it's called Splatoon 2 Splatfest. And I watched the demo, and I just thought, this just looks silly.
It is. It's a silly explosion game. It's kind of like...
With colors, like you're painting.
Yeah. But it should be a good title for families, for children, and stuff like that. I don't think there's too much violence in it.
A little bit, but... Yeah.
Cartoon violence, I guess.
If you want to get the kids away from gaming and you want to get them into learning more, when I first saw this, I thought to myself, this is crazy. But there is a program that's going to be at the University of Arizona and other schools around the country. So if you're listening to this on the net, and maybe you're in Georgia, or you're in Virginia, here's the deal. It's called the Gen Cyber Camp. And they're doing it here at the U of A. But it's put on by the National Security Agency, the NSA.
Really?
And the National Science Foundation, 130 universities, nonprofit organizations, and K-12 school systems in 39 different states are going to be hosting these summer camps. Now, they plan to really add more camps throughout the next few years till 2020 to get up to about 200 different cyber camps. The cool thing about it, from what I understand, it's free.
But what exactly are they teaching you?
You're learning biometrics. You're learning password protection. You're learning how to crack passwords. You're learning all of these things that the NSA would want you maybe not to know, but they're teaching in these Gen Cyber Camps.
So they're breeding a new generation of hackers.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, maybe, or security specialists. I think that's the whole
security
term,
really. Specialist is just the professional term for a hacker.
Yeah. But yeah, I think it's a great idea.
No, it is. I'm not saying it's not. That's an awesome thing. Get more children interested in cybersecurity because, I mean, that's kind of where technology is going. It's really, you got to, you know, the next war is going to be online.
Yeah, definitely. Matter of fact, have you heard the movie Top Gun 2 Maverick?
Yeah.
With Tom Cruise? They're saying the movie is going to be about drones. And instead of them flying, they're going to be flying drones. At least that's what I've been told.
Or UAVs, yeah.
Yeah, UAVs, as they call them in the military. Now, this Gen Cyber Camp, they say, and I was reading a little more about it, that said it's to increase online behavior, increase diversity and interest in cybersecurity, and increase awareness about careers. So how great is that to have your kids come down and lock down your network?
Yeah. Or you'd be like, you're grounded, you can't use the internet. And he's like, watch me.
Exactly. All right, well, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to tell you a little bit about a program I found that is going to help and save you lots of time.
You can catch us online, techtalkradio.com, or on Facebook, facebook.com/techtalkers. We'll be right back.
And now, back to Tech Talk Radio.
And we're back with Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andy Taylor.
And I'm Justin Lemmy.
All right, we were talking about these Gen Cyber Camps before the break. That is being done at like 130 different universities. Here is a website address to go to. That's gen-cyber.com. Again, gen-cyber.com. The next camp is scheduled for those listening in the Tucson area, Monday, July 24th through Friday, July 28th. All right.
Good.
So you can sign up the kids and they're going to be smarter than you. All right.
Yeah, pretty much.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
All right. I found a really cool utility I wanted to share with you.
Okay. What's this?
All right. So recently, you know, I've been just going crazy with data recovery. I've been having a blast. It's fun because it's like finding buried treasure, because you get a hard drive and somebody says, well, I think years ago I deleted this, or I find one of my own drives and I go, I know I have pictures of the kids when they were, you know, this age, and somehow they got deleted. So I've been trying to find stuff. Well, one of my drives, I was using the OnTrack data recovery program, and it found a bunch of files, right? Mm-hmm. So when it stored them back to a hard drive so that I could recover them, it named them as, say, 001.jpg, JPG, a lost file. So obviously, if I open up Adobe Bridge, I can't look at that and see if this is a picture I want, if this is something I was looking for, etc. So what I have to do is go into Explorer, File Explorer, and then actually rename the file. As you can imagine, that would be time, really just crazy time to do that. I ended up doing, I did a little research, and I found a program, and I definitely want to recommend it. The program is called Bulk Rename Utility. And I believe it's out of Australia, although their website address has got a UK address. And what it does is you open it up and you look at it and you stare at it for a little while and you begin to drool a little, because trying to figure it out is one thing. But after really honestly going through a couple of steps and seeing how it will show you the files you have, and then you can go through and you can kind of say, okay, I want to add this here, remove this, change the file, you know, the actual file name, it'll show you what it's going to be renamed to. So honestly, it was a piece of cake. Now, it doesn't work for Mac or Linux. There aren't any versions of that. However, it does go all the way back to Windows XP, and it's freeware, which is also very nice.
That's nice. Yeah.
If you're a business, though, I think it's $92 per seat. And then, of course, as you add more seats, honestly, once you start getting into it, it's okay. It does that. It renamed 41,000 files in seriously less than about 2 minutes.
Wow, really?
And it wasn't that difficult. There are manuals available you can download, but for it being freeware and you're looking for a really full-on program for renaming your files, this is a great one to use.
Cool. All right. Check it out.
So, wanted to pass that along. That address again is bulkrenameutility.co.uk.
Okay.
You were telling me some stuff a little while ago that had me thinking, wait a minute, that's not possible, about advertising and how much money Facebook is bringing in.
Well, it's not just Facebook, but I mean, think about ads. I mean, if you were to ask the everyday person what their thoughts on are advertising, most likely they're going to say they don't like it. Nobody really likes ads, but they're necessary and for the economy. I mean, this is what makes businesses money. And so people have to, you know, advertise. So we know that Google has ads, but they've always done such a great job with Google's ads, where they're not intrusive, you know, with the searches. They're just kind of there, but I'm actually surprised that Google does make money on the ads, because they're not intrusive and yet people still actually click on it. But they figured out a way to really hone in the advertising market. It was announced in Inc. magazine that Google and Facebook now together make more money from advertising than every newspaper, magazine, and radio network in the world combined.
Wow.
$80.8 billion is how much just Google will make from ads this year. It works out to be $11.54 for every single person on Earth. Now, Facebook brings in $36.3 billion.
So unlike Snapchat, they're making money.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. They're making a ton of money.
Now, would that also include, now for Google, that also includes money made from YouTube, because YouTube is continuing. And it's funny because, you know, Facebook has done this Facebook videos and all that. YouTube is continuing to grow.
Yes, YouTube is definitely continuing to grow. I mean, they really did an amazing job with YouTube after they purchased it from, you know, the guy that created it. But that's where a lot of the ads come in. I don't see ads on YouTube because I actually subscribe to YouTube.
YouTube Red?
I get YouTube Red with my subscription to Google Music. So I got Google Music. I pay $10 a month. I get all my music from them that way. But because of that, I get YouTube Red. So I don't have to see advertisements anymore. But if you don't have YouTube Red, which most people probably don't, when you go to click a video, you go like, oh, crap, I got to sit here for 10 seconds and watch this stupid advertisement. But that's how they make their money.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
And
so
that's, and sometimes the ads can be intrusive. Sometimes they can be, you know, they play for a little bit. Then you just click remove, you know, sometimes I'll watch the ad if it's going to be good.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the thing is that's the thing about advertising. This is kind of going off on a little tangent, but you know, marketing companies, they're coming up with like, okay, look, if we want people to watch our ads, they've started to redesign ads to make them more interactive or make them more like a Hollywood movie type of advertisement.
Thus the ad on my Facebook page this week. Which have you seen that one with the tiles? The roofing
tiles? Yes, I just watched it actually as you were talking about that, the Japanese tiles for roofing tiles.
Yes.
I was kind of like, what is this?
Amazing.
But then at the very end, you're like, oh, got me there.
Right.
They did Budweiser did a commercial featuring Adam Driver. And we all know Adam Driver played, only really known for as playing Kylo Ren in The Force Awakens.
Yeah, and he was in that show Girls, right?
See, I never knew that. Yeah. Like, I only know him from as Kylo Ren, the evil, you know, the First Order,
yeah,
the evil guy.
He's like what, Darth Vader's grandkid,
something like that. Yeah, yeah. Well, not really. He's actually Han Solo's kid, but
He's Han Solo and Leia's, so I guess that makes him kind of.
Oh yeah, you're right. Yeah, because Leia is. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. See? I got you. Yeah. Okay. So going back, we're getting on a Star Wars tangent here. Budweiser made a commercial, and again, it's just for Budweiser. But it was Adam Driver who was driving out. driving out. Ironic.
And he ran into Mini Driver.
And they went for a drive together. He's going out to visit a family.
Driving Miss Daisy right over.
Sorry. Driving over. Yeah, okay. You're done.
Sorry. Okay.
Too much coffee. He's going out to like a residence of a disabled veteran. And Budweiser does this campaign where they're giving out free scholarships to people. And it's just an advertisement for Budweiser. But yeah, at the same time, it makes people want to watch it because you get to see, it's kind of like a story. Like it's telling a story about it. And so I got to say, you know, even as much as I hate Budweiser, their marketing department, for the most part, gets it. Like when they do the Clydesdale commercials for the Super Bowl, you know, they get it. People are like, you know what? I like that commercial because it's nice. But when they do those things where they're talking about craft beer and then they go and buy a bunch of craft breweries, that just makes them look stupid. But for the most part, advertising companies, they're having to redesign and rethink the concept of advertising. How can we get people to watch our ads?
Anybody who creates content needs to be thinking about that.
Yes.
Anybody. And that's all the way from radio to online. You know, if we on our show decide, okay, we're going to have an ad, you don't want an ad where it's just a buy this for $7.99. Create a little mystery, a little.
You got excitement.
You know, yeah.
We live in a society that is now, and you only have like a second or two to catch somebody's attention and make them want to keep watching or reading or listening to something. So you have to come up with something that can hook them, just like going fishing. You got to be able to hook them within the second or two or else they're gone.
You know that one of the things I have hated the most, I will just say, because I'm in the radio business. Mm-hmm. I think it's a scourge of radio is these ads where at the end they have to do a disclaimer. Mm. So when writing the commercial, rather than realizing, you know, hey, we legally we have to do this disclaimer, it happens.
Mm-hmm.
They'll write all the way up to the end and then squeeze it in so it's super fast.
Yeah.
I think it creates distrust.
Oh, yeah, totally.
And you've got to trust. You've got to trust wherever that advertising is coming through. And I may be wrong, but I honestly feel that's been one of the things that has hurt it.
And I've noticed this something different. People got so used to having those commercials with the disclaimer at the end, so they would just automatically kind of like tune out of the commercial. Now, not now, but I'm saying within the last couple of years, advertisers have started putting the disclaimer at the beginning of the commercial.
Yes.
And then there's like a half a second dead silence, and then the commercial kicks in. So you think it's a different commercial, but yet it's still the part of the same commercial. It's
exactly.
Just you don't realize the disclaimer has already been said. And now they got the whole rest of the commercial just to hook you.
You imagine the guy in the boardroom, why don't we put it at the beginning?
Yeah. Promote that guy.
Now, I'm wondering how much revenue we're going to start seeing from advertising. What's Alexa or even, you know, Google Home or you know, whatever's coming next is out there and starts feeding ads whenever you want to get a weather report or something like that. Will there be more money taken in?
Yeah, I'm sure there will be. I mean, Amazon, they are a big, huge player. I mean, it's really just the three big companies, man. I mean, Facebook, Google, and Amazon. I mean, yeah, not to discount Apple or Microsoft, but I mean, these three companies are going to be the future of everything, really.
I don't know if you heard the news recently, QVC, which I like QVC. QVC is, I've got a friend that
you also like Lifetime TV, so yes, there's that.
Yeah. Hey, I don't sit and watch QVC. I just say I like it.
Oh, sure.
Although I have been on QVC before. When I bought my Alexa, they put me on. And I just thought it was hilarious because I'm like laughing about it. And they're asking me questions.
What do you mean they put you on like on the radio? Like,
I was on the
as
television.
A call, on, as a caller. Calling in?
Yeah, okay. One of the callers.
You know? What were you doing? What were they asking you?
They're asking, so why did you buy this? And I said, well, it's a tremendous deal. I became a consumer. And I didn't want to say I do a tech show or anything like that.
Yeah, sure,
so
sure.
You weren't
trolling them at all or anything?
No.
Oh.
I just thought, oh, that's cool. But no, I like it. But they just recently purchased, well, not too long ago, they purchased Zulily, which is an online shopping retailer. We're going to start seeing that more and more often. So QVC buys Zulily. Now they have bought and they've kind of merged with HSN.
That was their main competitor.
Yeah, they own like 30% or something like that of HSN. And now they've bought it completely outright. So they will have control of both because they're trying to compete against Amazon. But the funny thing is, I was looking at the app the other day for QVC. They had a pair of shoes on there that were $140. If they could go to Amazon and buy them for $15. So,
yeah.
You know, it's all about getting the best deal.
Yeah. But the thing is, as we talked about this before, companies like Amazon, they are destroying the local economy, not local economy, but like small businesses. I mean, small businesses just can't compete with Amazon.
It's difficult. We used to think it was going to be the big box stores like Walmart and some of the others.
Yeah, no. And Amazon's going to put them out of business.
Yeah, I don't know. Walmart's got a pretty good, you know, they've
got a good foothold.
Stuff,
yeah.
Their online stuff is doing pretty good. But again, you know, you're right.
Though. Target. Kmart.
How cool is it to be able to go online and just say, boom, you know, and buy it?
But then you got to wait till the next day to get it. My gosh.
Oh, the humanity.
Oh, gosh. I mean, seriously, when people have to start complaining about next day deliveries being too long, really? Yeah. Then maybe you should go back to buying things at stores.
Yeah. Hop in your car. Go through the traffic.
You mean I got to drive there?
I'll tell you why. I am so upset I did not use an online service when I was driving across to Idaho, which I did recently. All right?
Because
I would have saved myself a little time and probably some just shaking my head afterwards. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll tell you why you should be using this service.
All right. You can find us on Twitter at Tech Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
And now, back to Tech Talk Radio.
Damn computer! It ain't everything!
Even for the internet, it's pretty shocking.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. I'm Justin Lemmy.
I'm Andy Taylor. Thank you for tuning in to the show.
Yes.
Find us online at techtalkradio.com. And I tell you what, we were just talking about Amazon and, you know, some of the big services that are out there. I'll be honest with you, I was a little mad at Yelp.
Mm.
All right? Because I have a business also aside from this stuff that does computer repair and video production and all of that stuff. And you know, I take it very seriously. I've had four reviews, maybe five, and they've only published one. And the other ones, they won't publish. Usually I've helped somebody and they'll say, well, gosh, thank you so much. I'll say, hey, if you get a chance, you know, publish a review on Yelp if you liked our service.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but they've only published one. And I got a phone call from one of the girls at Yelp trying to get me to advertise with them.
Oh, they are ruthless with that.
Oh, I told her, I said, you know, I'll never advertise with you guys. Because mm-hmm. I've had people write reviews to help my business, you know, because I've done good service. And you guys don't publish it. Why would I ever advertise with you? You know, why mm-hmm. would I give you my money?
Yeah.
So
they've been in hot water a long time with their advertising tactics, where basically they will threaten businesses and say, look, if you don't advertise with us, well, then we can't guarantee. They kind of do it the mafioso way.
Yeah.
They're like, well, we can't guarantee that the most accurate reviews are going to be published first. And basically what they're trying to tell you is, you don't advertise with us, we're going to put the negative reviews first.
Ooh, wow.
And they got in a lot of trouble, but they still have not really changed their advertising practices. And this is why I honestly just don't use it. Yelp. Yeah. I can't stand it.
Well, I wish I would have used it when I was going to Idaho.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so I left late on in the afternoon on the Wednesday, right? And mm-hmm. I drove and drove and drove. And by the time it was like 3 a.m., I was hitting Provo, Utah. It's a long drive. It's about 16 hours. So I get to Provo, Utah, and I get off the freeway. I said, you know what? I'm going to have to sleep. I decide I'm going to find, go find a hotel and just sleep. Sleep for about 5 hours, wake up, and drive the rest of the way. So I get off the freeway. I drive past Ramada.
Ramada, okay.
Because it was on the other side of the road.
Okay.
And I keep going, and finally I see this
Bates Motel?
Provo Traveler's Inn. I'll just say it. I could say it.
Oh, okay.
I stayed the night there and paid for it. And I get in there, and it's an Indian guy. He reminded me of my uncle. I remember thinking that. He reminds me of my uncle. I got to remember, it was 3 in the morning. There was some girl standing at the window as well, talking to him, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I just thought, hey, I just need a room. And then he said, would you like to see the room? I said, no, I'm fine. Just, you know, just the key. It was mm-hmm. like $50. Mm-hmm. And then he walks me to the room.
Okay.
He said, leave your car here. Come see the room. So, okay. So we go.
You do a pretty good impression.
Well, I'm Indian, so I can do that without being offensive.
Yeah.
So we go to the room, and he opens the door, and I look, and I'm just like, okay, that's fine. I just want to go to sleep, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's showing me how the door doesn't lock properly. And I'm just thinking, okay. And I just, all right. So I run back, get my car, drive back, get a parking spot. Remember, it's 3 in the morning. It's dark. I get inside the room and I start looking in the bed. And I'm thinking, where's the sheets? There's no sheets. I think I'm just going to go to sleep on top of the bed. So I had some sweats with me. So I put mm-hmm. them on mm-hmm. and I laid on the bed.
Okay. Like, yeah.
Shoes
yeah.
on, everything. Yeah, yeah. Right?
I wouldn't even want to see what's underneath that sheets anyway.
I was afraid to look, right?
Yeah.
So I go ahead and go to sleep about half an hour. Then the people next door start getting an argument. So she and her, I guess her boyfriend, I don't know, are arguing, yelling. It's that girl who was that front window when I was checking in.
Oh.
They're yelling and cussing and everything. And it wakes me up. And I'm thinking, oh, man, I think I've only been asleep a half an hour, right?
Yeah.
Finally, it quiets down for a little bit and I go back to sleep. Then seriously, like an hour later, it's like 4:30 in the morning now. And it's like right out my window, like yelling, like it sounds like it sounded like they were in the room with me.
Really?
And I guess what had happened is she kicked him out. Then the manager said, I have got done with this. And he comes down.
Just do the whole show in an Indian accent. That'd be so hilarious.
It, my brethren. No, so he comes out and he kicks the lady out. Right?
Oh,
I don't know
man.
What the heck happened there. So they're screaming and yelling and stuff's being thrown. So it's when I get up in the morning, I get up and I decide, that's it, I'm out of here, right? I've only had like maybe 3 hours sleep.
Sure.
I start putting stuff in the car and I look at the room and I go, where the heck was I staying? I'm in the Bates Motel. And seriously, the door was propped by a dresser that was blocking it so they couldn't come through the door. But I think anybody could push that, mm-hmm. right? The fans were all like hanging down, like the exhaust fans of the bathroom mm-hmm. were kind of hanging down.
Really?
There was a hole in the wall. The bed had a layer of mold on the bottom of it that went across the box.
Wow.
It was just filthy. And then I go out to the parking lot and I look, and there's trash cans in front of people's rooms. Like we're not small, we're talking big old garbage cans that people just dumped their garbage in, and they just left them in front of the rooms.
Oh, gosh.
The car next to me had a flat tire. The other one had a broken window. I'm thinking, where did I just stay?
Yeah.
So, of course, you know, I get home, and I look up Yelp, and I'm reading the reviews. And people are, like, commenting about blood on the sheets. I'm thinking, next time I am checking Yelp first. Although, the first review for this place, and the person had only posted one review, says, this management is great, this place is fantastic, blah, blah, blah. And it was at the top, which tells me, obviously, they probably more than likely have spent money.
Yeah, they advertise with Yelp, and then the Yelp gives them a fake review and puts it as, you know, some fake account there. Yeah,
yeah, no picture, one review this person has done. I'm like, wow, just said. I recommend it, even though I'm not, you know, Facebook does this as well. You can also get reviews from Facebook, but, you know, if you want to, if you're going to stay somewhere, maybe check some of the reviews first. There's other ones. Hotels.com, I think, also does that.
There's a lot of different ones that will do reviews like that. I mean, I personally just use, like, Google reviews and stuff when I'm looking at places. Should have stayed at the Ramada.
Yeah, exactly. That's the tagline for this. I should have stayed at the Ramada.
Yeah. All right. This week's episode is called I Should Have Stayed at the Ramada.
Netflix is continuing to dominate streaming services in the
U.S. Oh, of course.
Big article from TechCrunch about just how much people, with so many choices now, you've got Netflix, you got YouTube, you got Hulu, you got Amazon Video, you got Crackle, you got other ones as well. How many are watching the services? Do you find yourself using Netflix more than the others?
I don't, actually. I think I'm actually using Hulu a little bit more than I am using Netflix right now, because I'm more into TV than movies. You know, with this season...
Is it because they're a half hour? When you have a child, it's hard to sit down for...
Not necessarily the half hour thing. I mean, we like to watch Big Brother. Every summer, we watch Big Brother together. And I noticed that, you know, I've got the HD Home Run going into my Plex server, and it's got timers set to record CBS at, you know, the set time every day. I got to redo it, though, because my amplifier for my antenna is not amplifying the signal strong enough. So I'm getting really bad quality recordings at that time of night. So I ended up having to subscribe to the CBS All Access Pass. So I'm doing the CBS All Access Pass. I think we're just going to do that. Until I get time to get my amplifier for my over-the-air taken care of, or we'll just do it for the summer and then cancel it after Big Brother's over. I've been watching more of that and more of Hulu than Netflix right now. But I know Netflix is super strong. You know, the one thing I just wish about Netflix, I just wish I knew what would be on Netflix and not just having to go there and browse through and try to find things. I wish I could have like a list. And in fact, you know, coming up later, we'll be talking about the website of the week, and that actually may be the closest thing to the answer to that question.
Well, I get disappointed sometimes. I pull up Netflix and I have no idea what these things are. I'm like, what is this? I mean, there's so much content out there now.
Yeah.
And it seems like a lot of it's going on Netflix. Once in a while, you'll find that gem though, that you might watch. Like, I never would have thought of watching 90 Day Fiancé. I'm sorry. I love that show. That's your big brother. That's my
90 Day Fiancé.
Yeah, love the show.
Well, this is one of the reasons why Netflix got rid of the ratings for shows and movies, is because they were finding that by not putting ratings on things, people then may be more inclined to watch something that may have gotten a bad rating by a few people, and therefore just kind of like, that's like the final nail in the coffin for this particular TV show or movie. If they don't have a rating on it, nobody knows, hey, this is a good one, this is a bad one. So that's why Netflix decided to get rid of the ratings program to help lesser known content, lesser known movies and TV shows to have a chance of finding their niche audience that they would like to, you know, have watch their show.
Do you find it easier to follow a show on Hulu? Since you're watching Hulu, because it seems like shows like Handmaid's Tale. I know I watched that John F. Kennedy one with James Franco, which was phenomenal. That was so good. I just find it's easier to find content on Hulu.
Yeah, I like Hulu's layout a little bit better than Netflix. I mean, they're very similar. I just haven't been using Netflix all that much recently.
One thing I did the other day is hooked up. I have Chromecast. So I hooked up some. I was watching some Facebook videos.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved it. I just thought it was great. I laughed for about an hour just watching different Facebook videos. And I didn't have to really go searching for them.
That's actually what I've been doing more and more in the evenings now, is actually not Facebook, but using my Amazon Fire and the YouTube app. I'm just watching YouTube. And it's really, it's interesting the way YouTube does cater your, you know, recommended shows or recommended things to watch based on your history of what you've watched. I think it was a couple weeks ago I watched an episode of Modern Marvels, and it's an old episode because they're
I remember that show.
Yeah, they're ripped copies of old shows, and it's funny because they're sitting there like looking at, you know, on computers that are still on old CRT monitors, and you know, like I'm like, wow, this is really old. But I started watching one of them, a Modern Marvel, and all of a sudden more and more my recommended feed came up with more of these episodes of Modern Marvels.
Nice.
And so now if I turn on YouTube, my recommended is pretty much all Modern Marvels and a couple cat videos. Yeah.
Great.
So,
great.
Yeah. So, but I actually sit there at night and I'll be like, huh, let's watch Modern Marvel's Dams. And I'm like, okay. And I'll watch that. And then let's watch Modern Marvel's Solar Electricity. Let's watch that, you know.
Coming up, our website of the week. If you've been trying to weed through some of this stuff on Netflix, Justin found a website that kind of helps weed through it all.
Yeah. And also not only does Netflix, it also does Amazon Prime and just general items you can find on DVD. So we'll tell you about that right after the break. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/Tech Talkers. We'll be right back.
Now back to Tech Talk Radio.
Technologically, I'm just trying to catch up with everything. I just got high-speed internet at home, DSL, because I want to freeze my screen faster. You know, I got tired of waiting 2 minutes. I'm going to be frustrated now. And my friends, they're all tech-savvy. They're like, yeah, hook it up yourself. It's easy if you know how to do it. And you're like, yeah. You get home and realize, well, everything's easy if you know how to do it, right? So I spent all week on tech support. You ever talk to those guys? Oh, they hate me. They don't even hide it. They're like, look, you're obviously not getting this at all. I'm looking for some words you might understand. Is there anyone else there we can talk to? Just me and my son. How old is he? 7. Put him on.
And we're back with Tech Talk Radio. Thanks for hanging with us. You can find us on the web at techtalkradio.com. I'm Andy Taylor.
I'm Justin Lemmy, also at Twitter, at Tech Talk Radio. So we were just talking about Netflix. We're talking about movies and streaming. But again, I made a comment that said, you know, I don't like the fact that I can't find a good list of what is offered on Netflix. I actually have to go there and browse and browse and browse. And then a lot of times I'm like, oh, I want to see this movie. And I go to Netflix and I search for it and it's not there. So I know there's a guy that came up with a website that actually aggregates all of the data from Amazon Prime Video, Netflix, and I guess as well as what's available on DVD now. But you can go to a website, it's called cinesift.com, and that'd be CineSift, cinesift.com, and you can search based on filters. So you can put down what's on Netflix or what's on Amazon Prime. You can also adjust the genre. You can adjust the basic review, like if you want it like, you know, a number of critic reviews. If you want a lot of people that have reviewed this particular thing, best thing is you can also search by year. So you can adjust a slider, say from 1900 to 1960, that I want movies only in that genre, that era. And then you click the search button and it will tell you everything about these, like this is, for instance, The Godfather. It shows up and it tells you that it's available on Amazon Video. It's available on Blu-ray. Now it's not available on Netflix, but you can get it on Amazon Video or Blu-ray, and it also aggregates the Metacritic reviews from different places like Rotten Tomatoes or IMDb or Metascore, so you can actually see the ratings of the movies before you actually go to watch it.
One thing this has shown me more than anything else is I probably should get Amazon Video.
Amazon Video is great.
I'm looking at this.
If you have Amazon Prime, you automatically have Amazon Video.
Well, see, I don't have Amazon Prime anymore. Lawrence of Arabia, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, Pulp Fiction, Schindler's List, Dr. Strangelove, Rear Window. I'm looking at all these and I'm thinking, I don't get these on my other services. This is great.
Yeah, Amazon Video has got a lot of good stuff on there. But again, Cinesift.com, all these are on Amazon Video, but they're not available on Netflix right now.
Right.
And you can click on it, and you can actually, it takes you directly to Amazon to watch whatever it is. And I think soon they're going to do it, same with Netflix, where you can click on it, it'll take you right into Netflix and you can watch it. But yeah, it's a really good website, Cinesift.com, Cinesift.
Cool stuff, man. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. All right,
that's it for this week's Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andy Taylor.
I'm Justin Lemieux. Don't forget, you can find our podcast on Google Music or on Spreaker.
And, of course, on our website.
And our website.
Yes. So thanks for having us on. If you have a question or comment, email us techguys@techtalkradio.com. In the meantime, I'm Andy Taylor.
I'm Justin Lemieux. Have a great week. We'll see you next week.